And I feel like we're in a season, somewhat of that, some people are, of him putting pressure on you to start saying the wrong things, start confessing the wrong things, you know. Because our words are containers. They contain, just like, you know, when like Johnny, when he's witnessing up there, you know, his words contain power. They're containers of power. We can either be releasing power of the kingdom, or we can get like the world, you know. And I mean, I've been going through a lot of stuff last couple of weeks, you know, and I don't need a pat on the back. I mean, this, I signed up for this when I got born again, you know. And I don't go around saying, why me, Lord, why me, Lord? You know, I'm like, why not me? Praise God, just go ahead, Lord. I'm your mouthpiece. I'm your hands, your feet, you know. But you know, secular songs just kept, you know, flooding my mind. I mean, one day, just all day long. And so I stopped them and I started singing, you know, one of our worship songs here at church, you know. And the reason why I'm saying that, you know, is because Satan knows in my life, I don't know about yours, but he knows what triggers. He knows there's different triggers that he tries to pull to get us to respond negatively. You know, start thinking negatively, start speaking negatively. Because if we really look at our life, you know, we get on fire for Jesus, may not even realize, you know, our confession is, Lord, save me. He saved me. Look, God, God's good. You know, we start confessing what it is on the inside, you know. And then church starts to bear on our lives if we get engaged when we're going wherever God puts us. When we get engaged, when we get hooked up with them and one with them. You know, in the book of Acts, that when he told them, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem. Go and until you be endued with power from on. He told them, go to the upper room. He told them a place to go. Go to the upper room and wait. Wait for the power. Tarry there. Stay there until you be endued with power. That's when the church started. There wasn't salvation up till then. Just like Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan would like to have you and sift you as sand. He said, but I prayed that your faith fell not. He said, now when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He knew he was going to get born again. He knew the book of Acts was coming. See, they wasn't born again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit didn't come till the book of Acts, till they gathered in that upper room and it was time for Jesus to hang on the cross. He was slain, the Bible says, before the foundation of the earth. They thought Satan, I believe, thought that he had done his duty killing Jesus. But the Bible said, had they known, they would not have killed the Lord of glory. See, and I realized in the Bible that Jesus gave his life to him. They didn't take him. The Bible says that Jesus had legions of angels at his command that would have delivered him off of that cross. Well, now see, Jesus, when you look at Jesus, and he was going through like the wilderness, I mean, Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, he come back with the word of God. I mean, people's told me, well, you preach the same thing. And I'm like, well, I ain't got nothing but a King James, man. I mean, what else does it say? In my experience, 28 years later, John 3:16 still works for me. And I have preached it millions of times. For God so loved the world that he gave. And see, I seen that in a different light back years ago, that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Well, in that, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know what? He said, I wanted a harvest. He said, and I planted a seed. I mean, I had a revelation. And then the Lord, over the next few months and years, is still doing it today, begin to show me how that the word of God is seed. Just like we know in the natural, if we want produce, fruit, whatever it is, we know we go get an orange seed if we want an orange tree, right? Apple, see, every seed produces after its kind. Jesus came back with the Word of God every time he was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus, he never let his words be what he felt. He didn't. Even on the cross, in the agony and the pain that Jesus was experiencing, he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the power of the words of God in him. See, that's why the Bible says our life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. And so we've got to be real careful about the world, the way they're thinking, the way things are going in this world right now. We got to be careful that we don't have the mindset of this world. You know, fear, you know, things ain't good, the economy. I mean, we got to watch all that, you know, because this week, I've wanted to say, if it ain't one thing, it's another. And I'm not like that. Because of the things, the challenges that are coming into our life, that kind of confession will get you more of. Because our words are seeds coming out of our mouth into our future. Now, most Christians that I know, I mean, a lot of them, they just, what I just said, they don't take that very serious. And that's fine. I'm not judging them. You know, I've got scripture in the Bible that Jesus even said, he said, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. He didn't say by your living. He said by your words. By our words we can be just, and I was thinking about it, I was thinking, Satan, you ain't got the power. Only power you got is to trick us into giving in to our emotions, how we feel, how it looks, how everybody in our family is having trouble, you know. Finances are looking a little rough. He'll say, look at them. Then some's got money and they ain't got no problems with finances, but it's going to be something else. See, because you can't get away from life. Life happens. People die. People are born. People get sick, people die sick. I mean, you know, life is going, it's happening. Things tear up, things don't go the way we want. People, and some of the things that comes into our life is out of ignorance of others. It's out of others, on agenda. They step up. But we can't get into that mentality. We got to have our words lined up with what we believe. See, if you believe that you're not strong in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. I'm this weak. You know, I just don't believe things are going to get better. Whatever's in our heart, the Bible says the mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. Now, if the heart is full of faith, full of the Word, it'll be full of faith, and then what'll come out of your mouth will be the answer to the problem. Hallelujah. How many knows the words we speak can harm us or help us? The words we speak can harm others. I mean, Sandy could have, you know, I mean, here she goes. I'd like to go just turn their lights on and get them out of all this mess. That's Sandy. If you ever need something, let her know. Let her find out somehow. She'll turn over two counties to help you somehow. There's nothing wrong with that. She's gifted to that. It's part of the helps ministry. It's part of the love of Jesus. You know, but I mean, she could sit there and say, well, you know, y'all made your own choices. You know, you got your own bed, lay in them. You deserve it. You know, God, you know, I mean, she could have that kind of mentality and not ever be able to reach them. Her words could hurt them. Because our words are containers of power. Yeah, Bradley told me one time, he said, man, I like being around you. He said, all you do is this faith stuff, faith. You know, say something bad, you'll come back with something good, you know. And that's not me. I was negative. I was backwards from that. But when I got born again, began to renew my mind to the Word of God, what does God's Word say? That it says, if God be for me, who can be against me? So people can come against me or you, and you use that word and say, somehow God's going to turn this around. You can't burn me. Somebody steals something to me, I sow it in my heart. I just sow it to them. Why? Because I'll tell Satan, you didn't take nothing from me. I gave it away. Somebody told me, no, they went in and took it, stole it from you, man. You gotta use reality. And I said, the reality is, if you give something away, it's a gift. Give and it shall be given. Well, they need to be locked up. Well, maybe they do. I'll let the world deal with that. Maybe they'll get caught and get locked up. But as for me, I'm going to have protection in my life. I'm going to get paid back for what the enemy's caught stealing. I'm going according to the Bible. I mean, I could have a confession. Every time I turn around, somebody's stealing something. I thought that I'd lost a pump. You know, I'm up there at my land, and I bought a new pump, and I thought I'd lost it. I thought somebody got it. I used it one time. And I'm up there, my barn blew down. I'm looking for it, and I'm like, man, somebody stole my pump. Lord, somebody got my pump now. My angels, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I've had enough of this, but God. I must have let down on my angels or something, praise God. You know, having that in my heart, you know, they watch over me and watch over my stuff. You can let down on that kind of stuff and start thinking and speaking contrary to what you was believing and had the protection of the Lord. And I thought, oh, well, I just saw it. Like God, somebody come up here and took it. Let the anointing be on it. Let it zap them. Let that anointing, it's mine. It don't belong to them. Whatever I have, everything I set my hands to do, be blessed. Let that anointing go. That's how you use your faith. I could stand but the heathens around here stealing everything. The Bible says, call those things that be not. Right? That's faith. Not how it feels, not how it looks. I've got a lot of heathens watches out for me. One guy up there told me, and he's a big thief. He's just a thief. He's a liar and a thief, Mac. I know it. I've been around, plus I know the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, Brother Weston, I'll tell you right now, if you need me over here, clean house on your property, you just come on by here. And I will watch your stuff for you. Them thieves ain't going to get it. I'm thinking, you're one yourself. But see, we've got an anointing on us. And his mom said, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. I said, yeah, y'all need to come to church. Now they don't want to watch it, Johnny. So I have to have my angels when you lose that, right? You got to keep your words up. That no weapons formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, whether it's the devil, whatever, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, God says. Our words can harm us or help us. The words we speak can help or hurt others. If we get in unbelief and fear and all of that and, you know, griping about what's going on in the government, I got enough to gripe about the government if I want to. Got our world in the shape that it's in, you know. I just have to keep looking at that Bible. The Bible don't say look unto the government. Where it says looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And these are God written down by holy men of God words. Just like Johnny, you may not could feel what he was, you know, when he stands here and he says about the word, about taking a stand on the word. And then Sandy had words that inspired him in the middle of his trial. I've seen the boy fast so much. I mean, he looked like a white boy. And I thought I could move in them jeans with him, man. He was fasting before the Lord. I mean, I seen Johnny, and it's rare that you see that. But I seen Johnny, the more that come against Johnny, the deeper he went in the Lord. The more committed he got to the things of the Lord. You know, and I'm not just trying to boast up Johnny, but the Bible says follow after those. Do what they do. Hallelujah. And you know what? I seen Johnny stand, and I mean in the middle of his trials, he had come and stand in for somebody. I want to stand in for somebody. I'm thinking that's the way Jesus did. He was whipped and all that, and he stood in for us. He took it all on for us. See, Jesus wasn't in his own power. Jesus was in the power of the Holy Spirit like me and you are. But this world and even some Christians, you know, that want to live all normal, just normal, carnal, instead of thinking kingdom and, you know, and all of that stuff. And if we're not careful, that stuff can just seem normal to us. And I mean, even so much, I got in it so quick after I got born again. I believe that conviction was coming on about 25 people that worked where I worked. When I clocked in, I got on their nerves. I'm all about Jesus, boy. I'm talking to Jesus. I mean, I was believing God, and he showed up and done miracles right in front of all of them. I crushed a brand new truck that he had sent into California. I dropped sheetrock on that brand new truck that it took him 3 years to build. My boss sent somebody to California to get the cab. It was a backward 13 speed. It was weird. He said, "Sugar, I built that just for you." I thought, glory to God, this is favor right here, man. I'm going to get to drive this bad boy. Well, a couple of jobs, I had a boom on it, and I dropped sheetrock on it. Right in the middle of that hood, Mac. Oh, God. I'm sitting there, Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, all kinds of thoughts going through my mind. You're going to get killed. My boss wouldn't. I mean, he was one of, you feared him, really, you know. But you know what? They told me that on the way back, you know, I told them, get that off, just get it off. You know, and on the way back, I mean, the hood, it's just not good. They're like, you're going to get killed. I said, the Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I said, I'm going to believe for God's favor. That's what I'm going to believe. I had just found out about favor, that you could believe God for favor in your situations through the Bible. And so I'm just acting on that word. I'm activating that word in my life. See, my words coming out was, you're right, boy. Whoo, you know. So I get there, and everybody comes out there, and you feel embarrassed and everything. I mean, they just flock it. Good God. I mean, you know, when everybody is, I mean, you are in bad trouble. I told them, I said, you watch what God does for me. And I walked in there to my boss. Now see, the power, my words were not, y'all were right, man, go in there and beg, you know, whatever. I felt a boldness in here somehow that this God that has saved my family, this God that I didn't commit suicide, this God has brought my family back together, and this God right here is bigger than some beat up truck. See, the word, whenever you get the word in and let your words be lining up with the word, in line with the word somehow, it ain't necessarily got to be quoting the scripture. Just in line with, going along with, agreeing with the word of God. I'm telling you, well, sometimes we don't realize what's going out into the future, our future, and bringing into our present day the kingdom manifest, spiritually and physically. I go in there to my boss, and I said, "Hey, Jack. Yeah, Sugar." He called me Sugar. His hair lip, and he'll spit on you, too. he couldn't keep the spit in. He certainly, oh, I love him. I mean, I love the old man. He's still alive. And, yeah, Sugar, what is it, Sugar? I said, I need you to come outside. What is it, Sugar? I said, I dropped a bundle of sheetrock on that truck you just built. I crushed that hood in like that. And he said, is that all? I said, yeah, that's all. And I mean, they had the door open. They're all looking in there. I mean, they are all got their ears against the building. See, God wants you to believe him because he'll make a spectacle out of you. I mean, he'll put you out there, and I mean, put you in a place that he will show his glory through you. When I left there, I'm telling you, they was coming to the streets after a year. They was coming to the street ashamed because I'm just an old country boy, and they didn't, them big up to do going to church and deacons and involved in the church. They didn't want nobody to know that they were coming down there and writing me an offering and asking me to pray for their families. But that's okay. I got them healed and stuff. But you know what? He didn't say, I went out of there, I busted the door open, I said, did y'all see that? Did y'all hear that? I said, I told y'all to watch what my God will do. And then one of my brothers said, well, it ain't over yet. I said, it's over when God says it's over. Well, see, I'm on a different side of the road now, man. I'm not in the ditch anymore. I'm on the highway. The highway, the Bible says he sets us on a holy highway that evil can't cross on there. The Bible says we've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so anyways, brother come down there, I don't know, about 3, 4, 5 days. He put me in a better truck, man. I got me a Peterbilt with air windows. I played with them all the time. They just go, swoop. Then you hit the button, swoop. I'm like, whoa, air conditioned, stereo. Man, I was rocking with Jesus. That's when I almost got mad at 93.7, I believe it was. They let somebody on there and said, God, send us 99.95, and you can get you, we'll send you a Bible, and you can tithe to yourself, and you don't have to go to church. And I went, poof. I thought that devil just tried to get in my truck. Telling me I don't have to go to church. That's dumb. So after a little while, I told Teresa about it. I said, I ain't never listening to that station again. I told her about it. Well, maybe it wasn't that. Now, she's always optimistic about that stuff. Well, just don't get all upset, you know. It's okay, it'll be okay. I'm like, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to hear it. But then later on, I never heard that again out of that. But anyways, a couple, 3 weeks went by, however long it was. Now I'm in a better, I thought, man, I got promoted. The hood, I like this one. That one was the International, and this one was the Peterbilt. This one was a 9-speed Fuller, man. Fuller transmission with a 2-speed rear end with a brand new Prentice boom. I mean, this dude was nice, man. 45 foot long, you know? And so anyways, my brother come down there one morning, I clocked in. He said, the insurance man's coming. He said, and Jack wants you to tell him whatever it was wasn't true. It just wasn't true. And I said, that's not going to happen. I said, I'm not going to lie to them. He said, you're going to do what Jack said. I said, Jack ain't my boss no more. Jesus is. I said, I work for Jesus now. I said, the Bible says for me not to lie no more. I said, I'm not lying. I said, you go back and you tell Jack, with all due respect, I'm not lying about that truck. He goes back in there, he tells him, I'm waiting. He comes back out there and he says, Jack said that's his story and he's sticking to it. That was a country song at that time. And I said, well, you tell Mr. Jack that this is my story, and I'm sticking to it. He said, you're going to have to. I said, I ain't going to do it, man. I said, I'll quit this job before I do it. I said, I don't want to quit. I quit. I done quit him 1,800 times, and I'm tired of quitting. I said, I want to keep my job. I said, but look, this is between him and Jesus. I said, I'm having to, I said, this is putting me in a fix here. I said, and I'm not strapped. I said, I'm not going to do it. Well, he went on and said, well, it ain't going to be well with you. I said, well, that's okay. The Lord Jesus will work this one out too. Well, the very next day he was supposed to come, I wanted to call in sick Mac, but I couldn't. I wasn't sick. I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't call in lie like that. And I did it. I'd call in sick, you know, if I didn't want to go to work or whatever. And I thought, I'll call in sick. I thought, I'm not sick. I couldn't think of no excuse, so I thought, I got to go to work, man. I got to go. So I go to see what I'm saying. See, God was changing me. He was transforming me. He was showing me miracles at a young spiritual age. Just because I was believing him, wasn't because I was special. Me and Teresa still cuss you out. I'd still might punch you at that time. You know, I'd try not to with the love of the Lord. You know, but it had nothing to do with all of that I was full of faith and all that. No, I was just believing God that he's going to work this out, and I believed that was not the will of God, and I was going to do the will of God, even if it cost me. Well, we're all standing there. There's a truck up there that they lined up and bringing lumber or something. I don't remember what they're bringing. But they unlocked the gate, and we're all standing there at 7 o'clock, and we got to unload the trucks and load ours and get gone. And I'd parked that truck out in the middle of the yard, like where we pull up to load it, you know. Because usually they'd load them in the evening, and then we'd leave out 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Well, we're all standing there. And my brother said, that insurance man's coming today. I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'm not going to talk about that no more now. You're going to get me upset. I'm not going to talk about it no more. I done told you what I'm going to do, and that's the end of that. Not talking. It's not up for debate. Well, while we're talking, that truck comes around through there, and he comes around this building like this and turns like this, and he jackknifes, and that trailer went across and ripped that cab off. And I jumped up, and I said, glory to God. Glory to God. And everybody looked at me. I said, did y'all just see what God did for me? I said, their insurance is going to fix that job. Now I ain't got to be under pressure to lie. I told the whole crew that day. And I mean, all day long, I'm like, glory to God, Jesus is real. You're real. I knew you was real, Lord, but I know more now that you are real than I ever knew before then. I mean, he tore that cab off. I didn't have to deal with that no more. That company paid for that truck. But see, Jesus delivered me because of my faith. And that's my point. But I would not change my confession. I would not, because I done found out in Proverbs 18:19 over there, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. That's why if I'm weak, you'll never hear me say I'm weak. Some say, well, he's just full of pride is what it is. No, I'm full of faith. I'm full of wisdom. I'm not full of arrogance and pride. Now, I will say, yes, my body feels weak, but my God. Yes, I feel symptoms, but God's my healer. But I've been voluntarily, I mean, I want to go through the house when I'm aching and tell Teresa, is this what 56 feels like? She don't know. She ain't 56. I'm asking the wrong one. And I ain't going to ask nobody 56. Because what if they ain't got no confidence in God? And they experiencing all kind of stuff that I ain't. Then I'll be like, that one's going to hit me too. I mean, just the other night, we're sitting there, and I'm just scrolling through Marketplace or whatever I'm doing. I kill a lot of time doing that. And they said, yep, when you're 50 or older, shingles is just lying dormant in you and going to come alive anytime. Something down that nature. And I thought, I'm 56. Then I come out of my mouth and I told my TV, not me. Shingles ain't in me. Well, what's the Bible say is in me? Greater is he that is in God that's in me. Well, ain't he healer? Wasn't he the Word made flesh according to John 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came down and became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son of the Father. Well, the Word's in you. Word's in me, praise God. So I just told that TV, not me. I could go around saying, God, I hope I'm not one of them out of the 40% that shingles. I've heard them with them shingles. Boy, it burns and hurts and itches and it will drive you crazy. Them that's had shingles. So that gave me an injury. Oh, Jesus. Oh, if it comes on. I mean, this stuff will talk to you. Get you in fear. You know, did you know the book of Job? It says the very thing that he feared come on him. Fear is a negative force. And fear, you know, I mean, back when me and Teresa was young, you know, I tried to compete with people that I thought looked good that she might like or whatever they had, you know, and all that stuff. And after I got born again, I read the scripture in there where it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Well, I looked the word fear up, and it says a coward. Timid. Cowardly. God hadn't given us that spirit. The Bible says the righteous are what? Bold. Bold as a lion. And I always have to bring this in. He don't say we're mean as a snake. You know, we shouldn't be ugly and mean to people. Do our best to be like Jesus. Love. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Gentle. Lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest for your weary soul. I don't try to compete anymore. I got delivered from competing. I made up my mind. I'm the best thing that ever happened to her other than Jesus. I renewed my mind to that. I've had people say, who do you think you are? Special? No, I'm delivered. Now I get to keep her. Because I'm not fighting for her. I already got her. My faith, hallelujah. I gave her to God. So I got delivered. I got delivered from trying to compete. So if you are in here tonight and you're in school, and you feel like you've got to be somebody you're not to fit in the crowd. That's not your crowd. Come on, somebody. Not your crowd. If you feel like at work that you've got to be somebody that you're not to fit in, that's not your crowd. You would rather stand alone and have the peace of God in your life and His glory and His protection and His promises than accepted. There's a lot of people don't accept me in the things of God because there's a lot of things I won't do. I won't do Halloween. I won't do Santa Claus. I won't carve pumpkins. I won't get involved. I found out way back down the road, witchcraft and warlocks and Ouija boards, and they're all real. And they're satanic churches. And they sacrifice animals. I've been accused of it, sacrificing black cats on the altar here. That's fine. But all of that, so a lot of people, well, Brother Scotty, don't let the kids have no fun. You know, we need fun stuff for the kids. No, we need the gospel. No, we need them to know Jesus. We need them. There's nothing wrong with pizza. Go with Sandy. She's a real godly woman. She'll take you to the pizza place. She'll take you to the skating ring. She'll take you to the beach. She'll carry Jesus with her. But here at the church, I'm not going to the beach. I'm not geared for the beach. I'm geared for Aiden at 5 to know Jesus. I'm geared for Aubrey at 7 to know Jesus. I'm geared to that. We ought to be geared to that. So a lot of people, you know, well, we don't go to church over there. They're so strict over there. Do we seem strict, Matt? The world's strict, ain't it? It'll put it on you, take you down and take you under, and then laugh at you while you're laying there. But you know what? There's coming a day There's coming a day. The Bible says in Isaiah 60, it says, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen. There's coming a time when they're going to need us. They're going to need who we got on the inside of us. So don't you bow at school, y'all young kids. Don't do it. Aubrey, she's having a little trouble. She's 7 in school, you know. Having a little trouble, hurts her feelings and all of that, you know. So we just always tell her, well, they don't know what they're missing. If they don't want to talk to you, they don't know what they're missing. We're not your poor little thing. Oh, you little blue-eyed thing. Or, oh, it's just bad girl, bad girl. No. No, we're teaching her you are who God said you are. No, they're missing out. If you don't want in my company, I believe you're missing out. If I don't want in yours, I believe I'm missing out, Mac. You know Jesus. Right? But Mac don't need me to fit in. He fits right in here. Why? He kind of got connected. Connected with the Lord. A lot of us are just a bunch of misfits in the world. They don't fit nowhere. We're the wrong piece of the puzzle. But you got us in God now, buddy, we're getting it put together. The puzzle's coming together. We see what God's doing in our life. We see what God's doing in one another's lives. We see the miracles, the signs. We see the families coming back together. We see full of love and joy. But you know what? I try not to post too much because I like to pick my battles now on Facebook. You mentioned too much about the Lord. You got to have the exact scripture or they will pop you. They will zap you, man. And so I'm sitting there just not too long ago, and this dude is, I knew him, he'd pastor at one time or whatever, I like him, but I noticed that everything's negative. Everything's, you know, I just noticed it, and I'm like, that's not good. And so I just private message. I said, where y'all going to church at? I know when I hear something, whether something's right or not. See, we can exercise ourselves with the Word of God till we know good and evil, the Bible says. We discern. And so I said, we all going to church. Well, we watch EMIC. You know, we're getting built up that's online. Online church. Online church. And, you know, we listen to that and their programs and blah, 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 you know, and I'm like, yeah. And so I went back on there and I said, yeah. I said, I've been partners for that ministry for over 20 years. My church has been partners for that ministry for over 20 years. I said, and I listen to their online services myself. I said, I do listen to them, you know. I said, but I'm going to be praying for you, and I did, and I'm continuing, that God will show you where you and your family needs to be in church. See, now I'm not saying something to somebody that ain't drilled people to come to church. He was a pastor. If you're a pastor, that's what you want, man. Get everybody. Y'all come to church. Come on to church. Get on the choir. We can't sing. We don't care. You'll learn. Hallelujah. We'll teach you. Now, why am I saying that? Because I'm not going to cow down to that. I'm not going to not be bold about that. It's not okay to get your online church when you got a church, even if it's 50 miles from where you're at, and God tells you to go, He will give you the gas money. Being in the will of God, church is not optional to the people that get born again. You may make it, you won't. But they may make it optional to them. I'll go if I want to. It don't matter what you do. But as for the church and the churches that are right, will not bow down to that doctrine. That is false doctrine. It's contrary to the Bible. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the early church, they gathered in the upper room and waited, like God said. I mean, we're having to preach on this church thing. I have to a lot. In here and out yonder. But you know what? When I do, it's because God wants that in us. He wants it built up in us. The importance of that, assembling together. It's not about me. I don't even know how to preach. I don't want to learn. I told God, I said, God, help me. If I ever think that I've learned how to preach, stop me. Help me. Take me back down. I need your anointing. Without it, all I'm doing is preaching. We're all following the Lord Jesus. But you got to watch your words. Give me that, James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend, cause to stumble. The word means to cause to stumble off. We stumble off. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, a mature man. The word perfect means mature. And able also to bridle the whole body. Did you hear that? If my words, if I don't never stumble in my words, doubt, unbelief, fear, I'm able to bridle my whole life. I'm able to pinpoint my whole life in a direction that it's going right now. He said, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Can you see that? There's not many horses that I've ever got on that I trusted. So I would put bits in there. That way, when they get wild with me, I would just bring its head around there to my knee, and you ain't bucking me off. You can go around and around, and I'm going to hang on. Well, I was controlling the whole body of that horse. It says, behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, and I've watched the big barges, and I've watched the big ships up there, big barges and stuff at Gunnersville. They need a long way to turn them because they are so big. You know, it ain't just like a boat. I mean, they're long and they're heavy. They're deep, you know, and it takes a while. And you know, if we have been in a rut of wrong speaking, it may take a little while to turn it around. Just like a barge, you know, or whatever. But we must turn it around. Not because I'm saying it, because he's saying it. We don't have to understand that our words are containers of power and how they work, or containers of faith and fear and doubt and unbelief. Unbelief kills faith almost instantly when it's let operate. I mean, it's just takes the bottom out. Even so, the tongue is a little member, talking about our mouth, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. Did you hear that? My words can defile my life. Well, just like this. I could go home. Now, Teresa don't always sweet like she is most of the time. I'm not always sweet, you know. Shh, it's my sermon. You know, and I could call up Doris. I'm telling you right now, that daughter you raised, I mean, she's worse than she's ever been. I mean, I try my best to do right and blah, 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 and then I could get around my brothers. But I'm telling you right now, I did. I married a hard one. I am affecting my life. That's what he said. I'm affected in my life. So, if I talk about anybody, I say we're a work in progress, bless God. It ain't all rosy yet, but it's headed that way fast. See, that's what he's talking about. Our words, we've got to be, we can't talk down on things. And you can curse your car, stupid car. Every time a box truck quit today, I started to burn it. I wanted to get out and say, if it ain't one thing, God, I'm going after that food. And I didn't really have time to go get your food, sir. But I made time, sir. you know, in your stupid box truck. You're stupid. Wouldn't that be stupid? That even sounds stupid, don't it? That's the way people do, though. Your car belongs to the Lord. Why do you want to curse it? Your kids, little idiots. You're cursing them. Y'all better straighten up, or I'm going to pop your head and then let it come slap off the living room floor. Your words are molding your kids. Let me give you an example. Doris didn't believe in nothing but whooping, I reckon. So when Travis comes along, Mac, I mean, I'm used to Dad not whooping that much. When Mom's around, you know, you're a little stricter. You straighten up a little, because Mom would get you with a belt, but she ain't whooping you with the end that's got where you fasten it. She uses the buckle. Buddy, she don't have to have just a few stripes, and you're going to learn. You know. And so, Teresa, when Travis comes along, I mean, the boy's getting spanked for everything. I mean, spanked. Don't breathe. If you don't shut that crying up, you just whipped him. Let him cry for a minute. He's hurting. If you don't shut that up, you're getting on my nerves. You're on my last nerve. I'm like, good Lord, I'm fixing to get that belt and spank her, but I can't. I'm saved now. So one day I told her, I'm before the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, what can I do, Lord? I mean, you know, everything, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know what her problem is. Well, Mom molded her somewhat. I'm not blaming you, Darcy. Well, you know, your mama did too. They trained y'all. Well, you know, and so I'm thinking, man, he's going to grow up with his kids, and his kids are going to, they're going to get beat, because that's all he's going to know. You know, he's going to know, that's what, and the Lord told me, he said, just tell her that everything don't deserve a whooping. Now, see, God's give me words instead of me and her getting into it and you know, and breaking up the marriage and all of that. He's give me words of power that I didn't realize they were this powerful as they was fixing to be when I spoke them to her. I just told her, I said, well, you know, everything don't deserve a whipping. Like that. Well, when I said that, it went in her. I didn't make it. The Lord did. You know, and she started changing. Why I'm saying that is, see, the way that we talk to our kids is going to mold them in their latter years to a way of thinking. See, because Aubrey has watched Mom and Dad, hopefully, and I know they have Grandma and Grandpa for sure, you know, she prays for people that are going to school now at 7. You know, Teresa started that because she'd get up. I'm mad at Mom. I'm sad. I'm in a bad mood, Grandma. I'm just in a bad mood. Bad mood. Bad mood. I mean, she's 7. She's in a bad mood every morning. Why? Because Dad woke me up. Well, you got to go to school. Yeah, but that put me in a bad mood. So I'm in a bad mood. So Teresa come up with this plan to change her mood before she gets to school. Started out singing songs. What song are we going to sing? And then before you know it, now she's went into, she's got her to believe that God's healer, whatever, and now she's having to help her in believing before you see it. See, there's stages. Why? Where her thinking and her speaking won't be, God's not real. That's what she used to say. He's not real. Well, I mean, that's normal, Mac. She can't see. She's never heard him. She's never seen God. So that's normal. But then you bring the word into them, which is not normal. It's supernatural, right? The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any tool. It goes down to dividing Hebrews 4:12. Okay, so that word that we take for ourselves works for them. 4 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. mold, it helps mold them into the image that God made them. How many knows the Bible says we're created in the image and likeness of God? So be careful what you say to your kids. Don't call them stupid and dumb. I told Travis one time in his life, I said, son, that was stupid. Just one time, act stupid. Hurt his feelings, went to mom. Oh, mom, dad, call me stupid. I didn't call him stupid, Mac. That was uncommon to him for me to speak to him out of any tone other than love. So it hurt his feelings. And I thought, bravo, that's pretty good, man. I didn't even call him stupid, man, and it hurt his feelings. You know, that dad would call me stupid. And I never called him stupid. He thought he heard it. Satan caused him to hear it. But I never told him, you're stupid. You're dumb. Now, I challenged him at times. I'd tell him, don't make me choose between me and your mama. Your mama was here first. I believe a woman ought to be before the kids, according to the Bible. The man was created first. Then he made the woman out of his rib. Then the family came along, right? It's God first, the man's the head of the house, the women, the woman, then the kids. So I told Travis, I said, yeah, hopefully he'll do his. Don't let your kids rule your wife. I never let him rule her. But they'd say, I didn't have to, but even, you know. I mean, she told me when he was 15, Matt, come out there because you didn't want to go rake leaves or whatever. I come in, she met me at the door, and I thought, oh, Jesus, here we go. She met me, I'm telling you right now, it's either him or me. One of us has got to go. Mac, that was hard. I thought, well, calm down here. Let me get out of the truck here. What's going on up in here? Get out of the truck here. Well, don't the Bible say blessed is the what? Peacemaker. I got to make peace now. You got to make peace now. And so then out of my mouth, I said, God just said you'd work all things together for the good. Why? Because now I know that my words are turning my ship. And you know what? Travis got to stay at home. He got to stay at home, Mac. He didn't get kicked out. He threatened to go live with Mama one time, and she said, Mama, you're going to leave with your underwear. That you don't own no clothes. I bought every one of them. And she said, if you leave in that truck, we bought that truck. You leave in that truck, I'm going to call the law, and they'll get you in Bluntsville. She would have called the law, Mac. Threaten us at 16 years. Don't threaten us. Move out. Are y'all getting it, guys? All of y'all guys, if I train your parents, it's going to be G.I. Joe time. If we let the word rule, that's power, though. That causes respect in that house. That causes respect towards the parents. That causes the respect towards the kids. It works a whole family thing there that is supernatural. Well, come one time, he says, I'm going to go live with Mama when I get sick. She's told him, Mama, I mean, she loved him. He loved her. They went to Beth and them went on her date nights over there, you know. They'd go to Mama's house, you know. Travis would tell Mama, she's one of them, went me and Travis up job yesterday, and this 90-year-old woman come out there, and she said, have y'all had lunch? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, y'all want me to fix y'all some dinner? Lunch? I said, no, we're good. Well, I can. I'm going to. Sound like my mom. I told Travis, I said, that's like my mom. This old woman here is wondering, we're here to fix her door. She wants to make sure we're not hungry before we. Well, Travis would go tell my mom, Beth ain't eating nothing. Then she'd get on Beth about eating. She wasn't leaving her until she ate. That woman would feed you, you know. But you know what? There was a respect there because of the way that I treated my mama. It caused a bond between my mama and my son that a lot of them didn't have, the grandkids. See, when we follow the Lord, we got to get the word of God in our hearts. See, the Bible says, honor our mother and father. Honor them. whether you like them or not. It don't say whether they're good to you or not. Honor them. That means respect them. It don't mean you agree with everything. But you're doing that unto the Lord. You're respecting. You know what? I did that with my mama, and glory come into my life all the time. And natural things, all kinds of things, because I obeyed the Bible. I told the Lord, I said, I didn't have a chance to honor my dad. I said, but Lord, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to take care of my mom, and I'm going to believe you to help me. And he did for a long, long time. Mama lived good. She lived, I put her in my house that me and Teresa paid for, bought it brand new. And she lived out her last days in our brand new remodel. We'd remodeled it. And so your words are containers of power. So I want to encourage you. You might not think you're too young or too old or that's the old fogey stuff. No, that's Bible stuff. It'll turn your whole life around. It, you know, when you line your words up with the Bible. And y'all youngins that's looking for boyfriends and girlfriends, make sure they know Jesus. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, believing young folk has a different vision than believing lost folk. They have different morals. They have different thinking. They have different dreams. They have different character. And that don't mean they're bad and you go judging them. But that just means you're looking for that one that's after Jesus. I believe that for Travis then, and I'm going to close with this. Because I knew I got on it about 15, when he was about 15 years old. I got on it, and I started telling the Lord, thank you, Lord, that his woman will be somebody that goes to church. His woman will be somebody that loves Jesus already. Now, he wanted to get hooked up with them little hoochies. That draw was there, them little hoochies. He got that. He done. Teresa told Beth on him. He got that. Not Facebook. I don't remember what it was then. MySpace. He's in there. My legs are tired. You know, telling him my legs is tired. What? Oh, ain't your legs tired? They've been walking through my mind, running through my mind. He used that. He got that from Will. He got that, some of that from that Will Smith dude, you know, off of TV. He didn't come up with all that. I mean, he thought he was God's gift to these young women. And so I told him one time, I said, look, you can't do that. You got to let one of them go. So y'all guys don't be talking to two or three in case you miss one. You got to back up. You find the will of God. And little Beth, she was innocent in all of it. Teresa telling on him. I'm going to tell Beth. You're going to know. She's going to know. She knew. We ain't going to let that go in our house in secret. Stand up here at 10:30. Your legs tired. They're walking. They're running through my mind. And Beth done snoring at 9. The girl, Travis done trained her to stay up half the night. That girl was asleep at 9 o'clock. Now she's up in her game with him, 1, 2 o'clock. Oh, hope I feel good in the morning. I didn't train them that way, Mac. I trained them 10 o'clock, man. We got to work tomorrow. Got, you know. Now Beth, she's out there. Now I seen the kids got a thing on. They're going, whoo. Whoo. They live send it out there. Got that, what you call that stuff? Virtual reality. You know, got that on. And so stars are going by, and Aiden's like, whoo. Whatever. I'm like training him just like nothing wrong with that game, praise God. So I want to encourage you, praise God. Don't let the pressures get your thinking and your speaking out of line with the Bible. Praise God. Keep it in check. Keep your words in check. Keep your thinking in check. Especially when you're under pressure. Satan comes when you're under pressure. You know, and the Lord give me this for my own self. He said, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he said Satan came because he thought because Jesus was fasting and he'd been out there 30 days or whatever, you know, that it was a weak time for him because he was under pressure that he could get him. Well, the Bible said that Satan left to come back at another opportune time. So he always tries to find triggers and use old ones on you, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.